Connect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. When you hear the word entrepreneur, it typically implies they are in it for the money. For two local entrepreneurs, that nearly led them away from starting a business. 23-year-old Josh Scheffner and 21-year-old Claire Friona wanted to create a company that was about something more than just meeting the bottom line. So they started AgriCycle Global, a Milwaukee-based social enterprise. Their latest project, Jolly Fruit Company, tackles the problem of food waste. Jolly makes natural, sun-dried snacks of mangoes, pineapple, and jackfruit that are grown by women farmers in sub-Saharan Africa and the Caribbean. Their network is made of more than 11,000 rural farmers who are part of a network of cooperatives. The network built by AgriCycle Global also utilizes a solar dehydrator designed by Friona. They're manufactured in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, and shipped directly to the farmers to create shelf-stable and ethically sourced snacks. To learn more about Jolly Fruit, Scheffner and Friona join Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski. Scheffner starts by explaining how Jolly Fruit Company first began.
It was the second week of my freshman year in college, and I got approached in the honors program about turning dried mangoes from Jamaica into beer, which sounds silly, and it was definitely a very Milwaukee solution to what to do with food waste. So worked on that for a few weeks and very quickly found out that was a terrible idea and that nobody wanted to have dried mangoes turned into beer. But we were working with that nonprofit and we said, you know, why don't you just sell dried mangoes? That has a market and it's also a lot less effort. So we went forward with that college project, but somewhere like halfway in between, we thought that it could actually be a lot bigger and that our focus wasn't on what to do with food waste. Our focus was on how to support the rural farmers. And so our mission very quickly became eradicating extreme poverty and doing that through using tools like transforming food waste into opportunity. So we went into the Commons, which is a local startup incubator and skills accelerator for college students in Milwaukee, built our original model, and there's been a lot of trials and tribulations since.
Yeah, and a part of your statement and why you wanted to go into this is that you wanted to trust food again. So was there a defining moment outside of learning about the food waste through this college project, or was there a different situation that gave you this outlook on our modern food system?
I think it was when I went to Jamaica and then when Claire and I went to Panama. It was seeing the difference between when a local community has trees that they grow their mangoes off of, or they grow, you know, pineapples, which don't come from trees, but compared to the factory farming that, you know, we had seen on the plantations that we passed by leaving, you know, the airports and the main cities. And so I think that's what got at it for me, that bringing it back as authentically as we could to the source and who's making that food.
So you mentioned your travels, and Claire, can you elaborate on why with this specific company, with Jolly Fruits, your efforts are being concentrated in sub-Saharan Africa and the Caribbean?
Yeah, so I think we got started in East Africa pretty organically. I believe someone reached out to us whose parents had a mango farm in Kenya, and that's really how we got started. And me and one of the founding team members took a trip to Kenya over our Thanksgiving break, and we built a dehydrator, and that's really how we got started in East Africa. And now it's the biggest region we pull fruit from. The Caribbean, how did we get started?
We reached out to ask a potential mentor for advice on, you know, we're in a real rut. We had pivoted our model from asking nonprofits to facilitate partnerships to realizing that for the most part, they were getting in the way from us just working with farmers and paying farmers directly. And so we asked this guy for advice on that. And he ended up saying like, hey, why don't you start working in Haiti? So I think in both of these cases though, after these initial introductions happened and our teams went to each of these countries and met with people, it just grew completely organically, very quickly through word of mouth, and then eventually it got normalized when we started hiring our local teams.
So you mentioned just a big organic process and kind of stumbling on partnerships, and it all kind of started out of a college course. But as young entrepreneurs and figuring out all these obstacles and realizing what partnerships work, what don't, what have been some of the most significant obstacles you faced, and what kind of research and education went into this whole endeavor?
I think for me, the most challenging part of it all was I went into school for engineering and I was sort of stuck in this like engineering box that I thought I belonged in. And then I realized that really the way to make a difference in the world was to bring in that engineering mindset and the business side and to use the problem solving skills I had learned in college and bring them to a business. And that's played really well into the entrepreneurial mindset, I think, because that's all you do as an entrepreneur is figure out how to make things work and solve issues and think on your feet. So I think maybe, yeah, it was a challenge, especially being young, but I think it also gave us a great starting platform.
I think the biggest challenge the business has had overall is thinking that we had to follow a set path. And that definitely came up in the founding of the company. We, in the same way that we got in touch with the person in Haiti, we reached out for advisors. We asked professors, could you review our business plan? Could you take a look at this dehydrator design? Maybe that one, you know, still holds water. But but as for the professors reviewing a business plan, what it ended up being is it would take me 2 weeks to revise it, and then I'd send it to them, and it would take them 2 weeks to get around to it. It was back and forth, and this very slow approach to building a business that had no, you know, it didn't actually matter. We weren't actually hitting the ground running, talking to customers and figuring out, you know, what our business actually needed to be. So once we separated from our school and we stopped using them as a crutch, I think that's when our business took off. And so the biggest challenge we had is seeing that, you know, we shouldn't have these assumptions. I mean,
I think also it helps that I haven't worked in a corporate job before. I've had internships, but I haven't had like a corporate position. So I didn't have that like established mindset, like, oh, this is how a business operates.
Yeah. And when we travel, like we, you know, the normal way that you would try to reach out to a branch of the United Nations would be to email somebody in a US office or ask somebody for a connection to end up getting an email to them or something. Ultimately, it's an email. We instead just flew to Liberia, and then we gave the Food and Agriculture Organization a call and said, can you meet today? Like, we're here. And they said, yeah. And they called everyone in from the field to this meeting. I mean, there were 11 of them in that room, and we were meeting with everyone from the head person of the country to their field directors. And you know, we built a partnership just from that meeting. So I think if we had kept following the path of we need to follow a path, like that wouldn't have worked. So we went out and created our own.
So with the Jolly Fruit Company, you are sourcing fruit that would have been wasted on small farms and transforming them into snacks. So Claire, can you explain the process of drying this fruit and what went into the design of the dehydrator that these small farms are using?
Yeah, so we actually just started producing our new dehydrators at a manufacturer in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. So I designed our passive solar dehydrators, and passive refers to the fact that it works off of the heat of the sun, not like a photovoltaic panel. And the sun heats up the dehydrator and hot air rises. That's something we did learn at school. And that hot current of air rising through the fruit is what dries it out. So that's like the technical side. We also have like a whole food safety training that we take our cooperatives through so that they're hitting the strict food safety standards that we do adhere to. We are FDA approved. So that's sort of on the technical side how it works.
Yeah, I think it's important too to tell the story of where the fruits come from. So when we talk about farms and cooperatives, the farms that we talk about, it's less than 50 trees. And so in many places, when we talk about these ancestral trees and wild harvested in northern Uganda, in Pidibe, people plant trees when they start a family and they start to build their first home there. And so it's ancestral because generation after generation, they plant more trees. For the most part, the mango trees are used for shade. And each mango tree produces thousands of mangoes a season, and nobody can eat 1,000 mangoes in a month. So there's all these fruits that are going to waste, but they're ancestral trees. And, you know, it's not an agricultural operation. It's just what grows in northern Uganda. And so you can find that story for all of our fruits across our cooperatives. And so that's what we're packaging into the Jolly Fruit. And then also we have the Find My Farm QR codes. So I think that's a really special part of our product. And it's that each package has this sticker that we put on it. You scan it and it takes you to a webpage that tells you the story of the women who dried it and the farmers who grew it and where it came from in the world to that exact bag, because each is hand packed and individually labeled. So we make sure that we're able to share that story, that empowering, happy story of the people who are growing the fruits.
I would say it's definitely wild to show up in a community and be able to walk up to a tree and just like pull a mango off of it and eat it, especially when you go to the grocery here and they cost like $2 each. That's a fun part of what we do too.
And can you get into the significance of the word jolly and why that's the spearhead of this?
Yeah, so a jolly in West Africa or in parts of West Africa means a musical storyteller. And so the jolly is somebody who communicates the history of typically a village or a tribe through story. And I think that's absolutely amazing, first of all, but it's so relatable to what we're doing that we're trying to share the stories of the women that we work with and of the farmers we work with and the refugees we work with. And so in some ways, the Jolly Fruit Co. is the jolly for the cooperatives that we're partnered with. And at the same time, it's also pronounced jolly, and we're trying to be a happy brand. You know, we don't want people to feel like they should buy our fruit because it's a donation or because it's a sad cause. You know, the people that we work with, while many of them are very poor, they're still very happy, and they're happy to be having these jobs, but also happy to just be talking and sharing their stories. So that's an important part of our brand. And then in Swahili, actually, which is spoken in East Africa, jolly is sort of an idiom that means what we owe each other. So we only found that out after we had named the brand, but it was...
It worked out really well.
Yeah, it did.
You mentioned, and what really resonates with me, is that there's a bigger call to action than just starting a business. And when you were in school and found yourselves on this path, what misconceptions about being an entrepreneur did you have? And what do you think is a more accurate picture of what a modern entrepreneur is today?
So I hated the term entrepreneur. And I disliked everyone who put it in their LinkedIn profile. I thought it was silly, and I still think it's silly to say that, but I fell very backwards into entrepreneurship. You know, originally we had a model for helping people. We thought we could make a nonprofit. Very quickly figured out that's not what we want to do. It's very hard, and it's hard to be sustainable. And so for us, what we ended up creating is this market-based solution to extreme poverty. So it's something that's sustainable and can grow and can scale. And that's what attracted me most to social entrepreneurship. So I would say that we're social entrepreneurs. And it's that, you know, there's a triple bottom line. It's people, planet, and product. It's not just profit. And so that's the first thing, is that I thought that being an entrepreneur or being for profit meant that you're only looking at your bottom line at the end of the day, and that you're growing your company and you're supposed to be a ruthless business person. And so I think a lot of the things that I learned is, I'm spurred a lot by the Milwaukee entrepreneurial community, and in Madison, there's so many accelerators and people that gave us a helping hand. And that once we stepped out of the shadow of our school, that's when we really started to pick up steam and helpers, and we learned a lot.
I knew I wanted to go into some kind of humanitarian, you know, social good sort of work, but I didn't know how you could do that as part of a business, because like when I started school, like who designs products for communities that can't afford them? You can't run a business like that. So that was something that I really loved about AgriCycle, was that I realized I could do that. And I could have a business that directly impacted vulnerable populations. So I think there was also just this idea of using a market-based solution to solve extreme poverty.
Josh Scheffner is the founder and CEO of AgriCycle Global, and Claire Fiona is the co-founder and portfolio manager. AgriCycle Global is a Milwaukee-based social enterprise that includes Jolly Fruit Company. Scheffner and Fiona spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski,